God has not given us a spirit of fear, but the spirit of love. How many times do we preach the gospel and other Christians aren't loving us for preaching it, or telling the truth, and others aren't loving us and claiming Christ? Why look for mystical experiences from angels when we have the maker of the angels and we have a big enough assignment to work on loving everyone, especially those in the body of Christ? And so we are to abide in love.
This is Cross Reference Radio with our pastor and teacher, Rick Gaston. Rick is the pastor of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville. Pastor Rick is currently teaching through the book of 1 John. Please stay with us after today's message to hear more information about Cross Reference Radio, specifically how you can get a free copy of this teaching. But for now, please open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4 as we begin a brand new message called Bold, Christ-like Love.
1 John chapter 4, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he is in us because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believe that love, the love that God has for us, God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Seeing God through Christian love, bold Christ-like love, that's the title. Hopefully that will be my emphasis in our consideration of Judges. There is a difference between seeking knowledge and seeking truth. And it is not obvious, evidently, to a lot of people. When Paul wrote to Timothy, he said that there were those who were always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. They were learning, they were getting knowledge, but not truth according to God. And when it comes to God, humans, we tend to gain knowledge of things faster than we get the knowledge of truth concerning God. That is why there are so many unbelievers in this world and so difficult to get the truth into them. We have to ask ourselves, well, then what about us? We who have received not only the knowledge but also the truth concerning God. Do we also understand the love that belongs to the knowledge and the truth of God? And do we understand it in a practical way? In a way that it means something, it shows up, it goes beyond just lip service. Well, John has been trying to stress this for us, and he will begin the fifth chapter of this first letter, continuing his encouragement on the subject of love for believers. But in this paragraph we just read, verses 12 through 21, God is referenced to no less than 25 times. Each member of the Trinity is mentioned in this one paragraph. Love is mentioned 16 times. Now, I've been bringing that up as we've been covering love in this first letter because it is inescapable, the emphasis on it. If you were to read it out loud in your own private time, you would find yourself repeatedly saying the word love, the word God, the word Father, and other references, pronouns concerning God. But in spite of this emphasis on love, we're not to lose sight of the fact that there are things to God that are unacceptable nonetheless. Yes, God is love. God does love. But there are also things that God hates. And we have to balance that. Otherwise, we depart from the truth, and the love that we claim to believe in becomes a love contrary to what God has taught us about. Our love is supposed to be more effective than any other love on earth. In fact, our agapeo love is only found in those who truly believe in Jesus Christ. And people should see some of God in us through the love that we have flowing from us. Bold, Christ-like love. Really, it's not a timid love. It's a bold love. And I don't know if I can bring that out of this section of the scripture, but I'm going to give it a shot. I will say it is bold because it abides. That's what I'm after. The love that comes with Christ abides. That means it stays through no matter what. It's one of the reasons why it is a bold love, that it shines through. It is supposed to penetrate a hard heart. Looking at verse 12 now. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. Well, the short meaning of the verse is that we haven't seen God, but people can see some of God through the love that we show, because that love comes from God, because God is love. But now to kind of go a little bit more in depth in the verse, no one has seen God at any time. You say, well, what about the people of the Old Testament that saw God in human form? Well, that wasn't the fullness of God. That was a veiled glimpse of God. God holding back more of him than man could handle. Exodus 33, God speaking to Moses, he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. So those Christophanies and theophanies that we talk about, those manifestations of God to people, are always restrained manifestations. They're never full-blown, here I am. We in this cursed life, in this sinful flesh, could not bear it. And so John speaks on behalf of humanity. He says, no one has really gotten a full look at God in this world. When Christ came, when God came as a man, the Son of God in Christ, he was veiled in human flesh. John writes in his gospel, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. He says, no one's gotten a good look at him, but the Son of God, this Jesus, and John's writing that after all of his experiences with Christ, the miracles, the crucifixion, the resurrection, the ascension, after all of that, he writes, none of us have gotten a full-blown view, but what we have seen has declared, has revealed, has taught us so much about God, answered so many questions. Paul writes to the Romans, for what the law could not do and that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. Paul says God sent his Son, or we could say God came in human form to deal with sin. And he came in the likeness of sinful flesh, not in the fullness because there was no sin in him. We cannot see the invisible God. We see his work. Everybody sees his work. Face it or not, admit it or not, you can be blind and see his work. Romans 1, which is our authority. Our authority for these statements is Scripture. The facts just go with the Scripture. The Scriptures are never outside of fact. We may not understand it or see it, but it's there. Romans 1, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So Paul says, the man who says there is no God, I've not seen God or any evidences of God, Paul says, that's not true. It's not true at all. You have no excuse. You are guilty before God. You know better. And you're compounding your sin by lying about it also. And the atheist lies. They don't want there to be God, a God, the God. So they think that they can just dismiss him. And unfortunately for them, they cannot. I mean, we can't see the wind. We can see the effects of the wind, but you really can't see the wind. We can feel it. Hebrews 11:27, by faith, he forsook Egypt, speaking of Moses, not fearing the wrath of the king. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. All of the scary power that Pharaoh had to Moses, God was bigger and more real. And God was who he was interested in. The driving force behind idolatry, at least in the ancient days when people were in the habit of making figurines and statues to represent their God, it's the folly of man's inability to grasp an invisible God. We can't take it. We've got to have something we can see. Well, the true God says, I want you to take it by faith. Look at the evidences, the proofs. I want you to believe that way, because the other way is false, and I'll have none of it. Making renderings that I have not given to you and bowing down before them as representations of me, I'll judge you for that. When Jesus walked on the earth, it was not a new presence of God. It was just God coming into view. A new expression of the existing presence of God. And so when John says, if we love one another, God abides in us. Now, we don't separate that from what he just said. No one has seen God at any time. That does not mean we've not experienced God. It does not mean we have not seen proofs and evidences of his existence. And then he ties it into love. He says, if we love one another, God is with us. He's abiding with us. He's hanging with us. And people are not seeing God as he is until they begin to look at Christ. Well, certainly his word in the Old Testament begins to peel back the layers, but more so when we come to Christ and through his love, which I fear that we fail so often. I mean, there are reasons why we fail in love. One reason is we associate agape love with feelings. And if we don't feel, then why should we love? But agape love is bigger than that. It's a demand by God. It's a commandment. It overrules all feelings. If it were that simple, then Satan would win all the time. There'd be no such thing as a martyr for Christ. The difference between a martyr for Christ and a martyr for anyone else is the martyr for Christ is moving on the strength of faith. He's collected the evidence, made a decision, and moved forward. Corrie ten Boom's, for example, she just knew who Jesus was. And the Nazis could not dislodge that from her or her sister, Betsy. And there have been many martyrs. We don't hear every story of them, but we know of some of them, and we are always impressed by them. And we always say to ourselves, I wonder if I could take it like they did. Well, love, God says, will have you do that. God is made visible through love in his people. Romans 5, the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Do we remember that when we're not feeling very loving towards someone else? It's so easy. It's so easy to stop loving and justify a loveless heart in the name of love. I'm tempted to sing you a verse about stopping in the name of love, but I'm not going to do it. Verse 13, by this we know that we abide in him and he is in us because he has given us his Spirit, as I just read from Romans 5. These men were on the same page because they had the same Holy Spirit teaching them these things. They did not have access to travel as we do and conferences as we do. They came across these realizations largely on their own. And that is the Lord revealing it to them independent of each other. Not likely Paul and John sat down and said, let's discuss the doctrine of the Holy Spirit and love. They didn't have to. They had a direct line. By this love, we prove that we are accepting the proofs. So when he says, by this we know, by what? By God giving us his Spirit? Yes, but we accepting the proof that he has made available in our hearts. Because without that, you can't go forward. So you have to ask yourself, you younger people, believing that you are believers, have you received him? Have you accepted the proof? Have you examined it? Have you thought it a little bit at least? Have you thought about it? Or are you just showing up because that's what people in your life are doing? When John writes in his first gospel, he didn't write a second gospel, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name. There's evangelism right there. You want to share the gospel with someone? Tell them straight out. You've got to receive him. You can reject him. So let's say you're a receiving clerk working for some corporation and the UPS truck shows up and they're delivering a package and you're going to receive it and you look at the package and you say, this is damaged. So you reject it. You refuse it. You say, I'm not signing for it. You can put it back in your truck. I'm not receiving it. And people do that with God all the time. They think he's damaged. It's the gospel message that we have. They find is, I don't like it. I don't want it. I reject it. Well, the difference with the UPS driver, he puts it in his truck and goes away. But when you reject the evidences of Christ, God doesn't go away. That's not the end of the story. It's the beginning of a sorrowful story if it's not corrected. And so he says, by this we know that we abide in him because, and he in us, of course, it's mutual, because he has given us his Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit is actually, he's also called the Spirit of love. 2 Timothy chapter 1, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love, and of a sound mind. When next time you come across a kooky Christian, you say, God's not giving you that. Running around the sanctuary, drawing all the attention to yourself, hooping and hollering like you have no control. That's not God. That's you. And it's insulting. And stop it. That's why we have armed people in this church with pepper spray. Take them down. We have not, if you're listening and you've never been here, we have other means of... Somebody says, it's not funny. Oh, no, it's very funny. It is funny. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but the spirit of love. How many times do we preach the gospel and other Christians aren't loving us for preaching it, or telling the truth and others aren't loving us and claiming Christ? Why look for mystical experiences from angels when we have the maker of the angels and we have a big enough assignment to work on loving everyone, especially those in the body of Christ? And so we are to abide in love, which means to remain, even if you feel cheated, unloved, or betrayed. No justification to stop this love. That's quite an assignment. I can't do it. Neither can you alone. You've got to go to the Lord for that. I like this section in Corinthians. I've been reciting it a few times the last few sessions up here. Hopefully, I'm going to memorize this section. I tried years ago and got distracted, like you need to know all that, but I'm going to read it. It's the second Corinthian letter, which is just a beautiful letter. And of course, there are still those pockets of resistance in that church in Corinth that rejected the great apostle Paul, in spite of all the evidences. And so he takes them to task yet again. And he says, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. He said, listen, I'm there too. Don't try to act like you've got some spiritual pedigree that I don't have. I've got the same thing. But let's take this a little more. So he continues. He says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. He says, I'm sorry I even have to do this with you, but I'm going to lay it out. He says, I am more in labors, more abundant in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. And he still has another shipwreck waiting for him. This is before his shipwreck on the Isle of Malta, where they survived. And so he survives the shipwreck at Malta just to be bitten by a serpent, a viper. That's ministry. That's the ministry of love. What other motivation could he have? He continues and journeys often, traveling. Who loves to travel? Well, don't raise your hand, because we don't do that. But you say maybe some of you do love to travel. I don't. I used to. But I got traveling out of my system. Paul is saying, in journeys, walking, inconvenience, hard times getting from one place to another. He says, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers. That went with the traveling. In perils of my own countrymen. His own countrymen wanted to kill him so many times. They hounded him from city to city at times. In perils of Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. In weariness and toil and sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things, but come upon me every day. My deep concern for all the churches. Paul, you mean after all they put you through, you still love these people? He says, who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble and I do not burn with indignation? I hate when Christians get messed up. And I don't hate them at all. I just hate the curse, the deal we're dealt in this life. But it's worth it to get to the other end. God is going to make it worth it. And he continues, I must boast. They say, if I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmity, my weakness, that is. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. In Damascus, the governor under Artaeus the king was guarding the city of Damascus with a garrison desiring to arrest me. But I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped from his hands. How humiliating. Get in the basket, Paul. I will not. I walked in the door. I'm walking out. No, Paul, you can't do it that way. You are too valuable to us to hand Satan the victory. Please get in the basket. And he writes about it because it meant something to him. And it meant something to the people who read it. And it means something to us. John had his own struggles also. He was not exempt from struggles in Christ. He too was persecuted. And so he says he has given us his spirit, the Holy Spirit, the spirit of love. That is why these men were able to be the apostles of Jesus Christ and light candles in the dark for us, that we could do better. We can always do better. Verse 14, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. We have seen his work in truth, in logic, in spirit, in fact. We have seen God's work. We're not going to say we've not seen what we did. See with our own eyes, with our own heart. Isaiah wrote, even I, God speaking through him, am Yahweh, and besides me there is no Savior. But wait, it says right here, and sent the Son, Savior of the world. How do the Jehovah Witnesses justify refusing Jesus as being God the Savior? They don't. That's how. Double talk all they want. They don't. To preach the gospel, there was a Christian missionary, Dorium Judson. He was a missionary to Burma, where he was persecuted, buried his children, his wife, his first wife. And they wouldn't let him preach Christ. He was always viewed as a foreigner. At one point in his ministry, he tried to appease them, and he wore the garb of a holy man, a spiritual leader. And then he wore a different type to separate himself from the Buddhist leaders. And then he came to the realization, you know what, I'm just going to be me. I am who I am, and I'm going to preach the gospel. And he wrote, or said, that he was to preach the gospel, not anti-Buddhism.
Thanks for tuning in to Cross Reference Radio. Cross Reference is a ministry of Pastor Rick Gaston of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville, in Virginia. If you'd like to learn more about this ministry, we invite you to visit our website, crossreferenceradio.com. You'll find a number of teachings from Pastor Rick available there. We also encourage you to subscribe to our podcast. When you subscribe, you'll be notified of new editions of Cross Reference Radio. Just search for Cross Reference Radio in iTunes, Google Play Music, or your favorite podcast app store. You can also follow the links at crossreferenceradio.com. We're glad we were able to spend time with you today. Tune in next time to continue learning from the book of 1 John with Pastor Rick, right here on Cross Reference Radio.